One complication in discussing all this is the assumption readily made that the blessing of a same-sex union and or the ordination of someone in an active same-sex relationship is simply a matter of human rights. That's an assumption that I can't accept, because I think the issue about what conditions the church lays down for the blessing of unions have to be shaped by its own thinking, its own praying.
That's Archbishop Rowan Williams. He is the titular head of 77 million Anglicans worldwide, the Archbishop of Canterbury, speaking very recently, especially on the heels of the Lambeth Conference. Once every decade, the representatives of Anglicanism gathered together to discuss the issues that bear upon their church. And they did this last week. It concluded in Canterbury, England, yesterday. We're going to get a review of the Lambeth Conference and this meeting of worldwide Anglican leaders here for the first 15 minutes of the second hour of Issues, Etc. Father William Ilgen Fritz will join us. Greetings and welcome. I'm Todd Wilkin, and welcome to Issues, Etc. Coming up after our review of Lambeth, Mormonism will be our subject. Bill McKeever of Mormonism Research Ministry and author of the book Mormonism 101 will be our guest. Mormonism has a new leader, and this new leader has promised in his inaugural to continue as president and prophet of the church in the footsteps of his predecessor and make no changes. But changes are afoot in Mormonism nonetheless. We'll see what they are in about 10 minutes here on Issues, Etc. You can join us as we come to you live this Monday. It's the 4th of August, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Father William Ilgen Fritz is rector of St. Mary's Episcopal Church in Charleroi, Pennsylvania, and he's vice president of an Anglican reform group called Forward in Faith. Father Ilgen Fritz, welcome.
Thank you, Todd. I'm glad to be here.
Was it worth it, the gathering of all these men and women representing worldwide Anglicanism in Lambeth? Was anything resolved?
No, nothing was resolved. It was not worth the time, the effort, or the tremendous expense, and it represented a lot of missed opportunities for the Anglican communion to right itself.
What was the biggest opportunity missed at Lambeth?
The biggest opportunity, in my opinion, that was missed was the opportunity to discipline the Episcopal Church in the United States of America for its continuing blessing of same-sex unions, for continuing, at least in principle, to support the ordination of more actively homosexual bishops, and basically telling the Anglican Communion worldwide that the American Church feels that it's not subject to any guidance given to them by the worldwide communion.
Is the communion in crisis?
Yes, sir. Indeed, it is in crisis. And I think that crisis, because of the answer to my last question, has really been exacerbated by Lambeth. It's clear that the American Church will continue to bless same-sex unions in certain dioceses. It's clear to me that Gene Robinson will not be the last gay bishop of the Episcopal Church, and that basically the American tail will continue to wag the Anglican dog, if you get my point.
Why does this province, which in terms of its numbers is not incredibly large compared to other provinces of the Anglican Communion, really, in terms of its size, a very small minority, why does the Episcopal Church USA continue to seem to be able to, in some form or another, call the agenda or even the shots in worldwide Anglicanism?
Because, quite frankly, it is the province that has the money. And it's demonstrated over and over again when the Episcopal Church has assisted dioceses overseas, particularly in Africa, when those dioceses have stood up against policies and practices of TEC, TEC has not been reluctant to cut off funding.
Lest we give the misimpression that the Episcopal Church USA is in some way monolithic in its support of things like, well, Gene Robinson has even insinuated that it's not only gay and lesbians who ought to serve as clergy and bishops, but he's included bisexual and transgendered people as well. lest we give the impression that this is a monolithic support for this view, there is great dissent to those views within the Episcopal Church USA. Tell us about it.
Well, yes, there is great dissent to that. I think, you know, we tend to hear more from clergy than we do from lay people, but as a parish priest, I can assure you that the lay people are extremely distressed about what we consider to be a departure from biblical Christianity. It's not really a question anymore, in my opinion, if the Episcopal Church in the United States of America is in error on how it looks at the issues of human sexuality from a biblical point of view. The question really is, are we still Christian? And that's the bottom line to it all.
Someone would say, well, they still have the trappings. They have the offices, they have the churches, they have the liturgy, they have the prayer book, they have all of these things that one would call at least the outward trappings and appearances.
Yes.
Of the church. You're really asking a fundamental question. Is the Episcopal Church still the church?
Yes, that's right. I mean, the outward trappings are still there. I mean, I happen to believe that Anglican liturgy at its best is some of the finest in Christendom. But if the faith that shows itself through its liturgy and worship is not grounded in the scriptures and is not led by people who regard the scriptures as the word of God written, then the rest of it really doesn't matter.
When Archbishop Rowan Williams says something like we heard him say at the top of the hour, that he doesn't want anyone to be mistaken that the ordination and the blessing of same-sex unions for gay individuals or lesbian individuals is more than merely an issue of human rights, what is he saying?
Well, I think that he's hinting at something that I've just said, that you know, it has been portrayed by the lesbian and gay community, the transgender community, that it is a matter of human rights. But I think he's alluding to the fact that there's a lot more to it than that. I mean, this is a theological issue. It's not a matter of human rights. It's a matter of what God's word allows and what God's word does not allow. I'm sorry he didn't say it that clearly.
But in fact, he has officiated at same-sex marriages or unions in England, or I think in Wales at some point, and he does privately hold the opinion that such things are fine. He's in between a rock and a hard place as the Archbishop of Canterbury on these issues, isn't he?
Well, yeah, but, you know, I think unfortunately, Todd, he's put himself there. You know, there's no question about the fact that Rowan Williams is a fine teacher and a fine writer and a clear thinker, but he is just absolutely mistaken on his interpretation of Scripture that would allow such behavior within the church. And in my opinion, he's proven himself to be a very ineffective leader, and I think that's very clear from the outcome of Lambeth.
What are the congregations, the priests, perhaps even in some cases entire dioceses of the Episcopal Church USA to do when they are faced with this kind of misdirection, this kind of innovation, and this kind of disregard for the Word of God in their own province of Anglicanism?
Yeah. I think for many, many years now, we on our side of these issues have tried to work for reform from within. And we discover time after time after time that we are not going to be successful in reforming this church from within. We as individuals, God can certainly do that, but we are totally ineffective at doing that, and every attempt we've made is met with failure and rejection. And so it appears that if we value what Anglicanism has historically been, that we have got to look for another province to align ourselves with so that we continue to be Anglicans but are out of communion, in effect, with the Episcopal Church of the United States of America.
I heard recently from two different sources, from Gene Robinson and then also from Catherine Jefferts Shorey, the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church USA, in separate quotations in two separate weeks. They both said in one form or another that the dissent over the issue of gay and lesbian clergy and bishops in the Episcopal Church USA is really just a grab for money and property, but it's not really a theological struggle. How do you respond to that?
Well, they're absolutely wrong about that. It's not a grab for money and power, because goodness knows we've had many churches who have had the courage to depart TEC and have, through civil litigation brought about by Catherine Jefferts Schori and her attorneys, they've lost everything. They've lost their buildings. They've lost endowments. This is not about money and power. This is about standing for the Word of God. We, at the same time, we would say we don't believe that the Episcopal Church in the United States of America has any claim on property that they didn't build, that was built by local congregations, and that those properties rightfully belong to the people who build them and maintain them and continue to worship God in them. But Catherine Jefferts Schori apparently believes otherwise. But they're both Rowan Williams and her assessment of it being our grab for money and power is absolutely wrong. If anybody is coveting money and power, it's Catherine Jefferts Schori.
Father William Ildenfritz is rector of St. Mary's Episcopal Church in Charleroi, Pennsylvania, and vice president of an Anglican Reform group called Forward in Faith. You'll find a link to Forward in Faith under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Father Ildenfritz, thank you for being our guest.
Thank you very much, Todd. I appreciate the opportunity.
When we come back, Bill McKeever will be our guest. We'll answer some questions about Mormonism, its changing face. Stay tuned.